Welcome to Failing Up, a brand new podcast where we explore failure, why we're afraid of it, why we try to avoid it, and the success that can rise directly from it. Failure comes in many shapes and forms. It can even mean different things to different people.
This show, Failing Up, intends to explore all aspects. These are the stories of people who have experienced profound failures that ultimately led them to something positive.
We hope that somehow this helps us all learn and grow. Thanks for listening.
My name is Eden.
My name is Guy.
This is our lame intro because this is a very tough subject and we couldn't think of anything else.
No.
Yes, this is fine.
This is our intro?
Eden. This is really cute.
You think?
This is adorable. This episode is about accidents or failures that could have been prevented.
But the name of the show is called Failing Up.
Yes.
With Eden and Guy. But the theme of our show overall, Eden,
is that we can learn from our failures and they could be motivation and fuel for our successes.
Yes. I think for me, one of the big reasons I wanted to do this show is I heard Conan O'Brien on the Howard Stern show talk about, and I probably will say this a million times, but I heard him say in order to for him to have succeeded, 35 of the worst things that he ever thought could happen had to happen for him.
I think we all need to learn to fall really hard in order to succeed greatly.
I agree. I think, you know, the interesting thing is when it comes to failure is that we are all afraid of it and none of us want to admit to it. I know I don't.
Yeah. Well, fear itself is, I think, a form of failure. But I think the most important thing is that you don't let your failures keep you on the ground. You get back up and you try again. And you can fail again. And I think the biggest, the hardest thing maybe to overcome is to, you know, try again and be okay with failing again and again and again and again. And that at least you learn something from it. So we're hoping that you'll maybe even learn something from this podcast.
Or maybe we can help in some respect.
So Guy, can you tell me of an incident where you think that a failure or an accident that you think could have been prevented, but it wasn't really in your control afterwards, and, you know, whole what if, could have, should have, would have.
Accidents that could have been avoided. The theme for this week, if you will, Eden. Thinking back to when I was 5 years old or 6 years old in my dad's garage. You always want to help your father or your parents out while they're doing stuff. Can I help you, Dad? Of course you can.
Oh, no, I was lazy. I did not want to help my dad.
My dad would say that I could help, but when it came to actually helping, I wouldn't really do anything. He would just let me watch. And so he was doing something, soldering, I believe it was. And he put down his blowtorch and he's like, listen, don't touch the blowtorch. And of course, being 5 or 6 years old, I listened to him for 3 seconds. And then I grabbed the blowtorch by its neck. And I ended up giving myself second degree burns across my palm. So, I mean, I think right there in itself, that definitely is a failure that I caused myself that probably could have been avoided.
Had you listened to your dad?
Had I listened to my dad? Had I just not touched the neck of the
But there's
torch.
No use in blaming yourself or feeling guilty about it or having even your dad feel guilty about it.
I think the important thing is that you learn from that failure.
True.
And yes, blame is really not what we should learn from failure is not to blame one another, not to blame yourself. You learn from it and you move forward from it.
And we had a really interesting guest talk about that.
We did. Her name is Holly Wagner. And maybe we should let her tell her story a little bit.
I was at work and my boyfriend at the time, now ex-boyfriend, was babysitting my 3-year-old little boy and almost 1-year-old little boy. Come home from work and try to call him because he wasn't home and he should have been home. And the phone kept going straight to voicemail, and I kind of panicked after about 10-15 minutes of trying to reach him and couldn't, and I called his whole family, and everywhere I knew that he was going to go that day, and everyone was like, no, he already left, or he never come by, and just never could get a hold of him. And then I got a phone call from a police officer out of Baton Rouge asking me, you know, these random questions like what kind of vehicle do I drive and if I have kids. And I'm like, I don't know who you are and I'm not giving you any information, you know, like, sorry, but currently kind of busy. So I almost hung up on him. He was like, well, wait, do you have 2 boys with blonde hair? You know, do you own a white vehicle? And I was like, can you please tell me exactly who you are? Because this is freaking me out. And he was like, well, actually, I'm a police officer at Baton Rouge, and I believe it's your children have been in an accident. Just give me your name. And so I gave him my name, and he was like, yes, that's the name that's to the car, and we need you to come to the hospital ASAP. So I drove straight to the hospital from the house, and Connor was in the ER. They brought me straight to him as soon as I got there, and they told me that he had a broken arm and he had some internal bruising, but nothing serious, and that he was going to be okay. They told me Rhett, which is my ex-boyfriend's name, had a broken leg, and they were still evaluating him, and they wouldn't tell me about Cameron. I kept asking, but they didn't tell me. After a little bit, I don't know, it felt like an hour, but probably after a couple minutes, the main doctor in the ER come by and told me, you know, that I needed to sit down, and that she's been working on Cameron, and that she had got him stable. And I was like, what do you mean stable? And she's like, well, they told me that Cameron had some severe injuries and he was bleeding internally, and they can't figure out where it's from. They needed to take him to the ER instantly and do surgery on him, and gave me paperwork and told me to sign it, and then they left. I had a million questions and no one could answer them. He had multiple surgeries, multiple brain injuries, and I found out later, the police come to the hospital and crime scene investigators told me what had happened and told me that Rhett had ran a stop sign and that they believe that he was not fastened properly and Cameron was ejected. And they found him on the side of the road. He had to be resuscitated twice. He had multiple brain surgeries, and the neurosurgeon told us that Cameron's brain was so far beyond repair that he wouldn't get any better, and that it was completely damaged, completely bruised. It was covered in lacerations, and he don't know how he was still there at that moment. And he made it through surgery fine. A couple days later, he made one in the hospital. So we had a birthday party for him, and they wanted to do a neuro examination to determine if he was going to be considered brain dead. So I asked him if we can wait till after his first birthday so we can have a party for him. And the following day, they did a neuro test, and he took a breath on his own without the ventilator. So they told me that he is not brain dead, and he has some waves going on in there. So I was excited, and I had lots of hope, like, oh, he'll pull through. You read these miracle stories and you watch the videos of these tragic things and, you know, these people pull through. And I'm just was so excited at that point. But as a week or so passed, Cameron's brain injury was so severe that it actually wasn't allowing his body to absorb nutrients. In other words, he was practically starving himself to death. So they told me that we could take him off life support now, or we can just wait until he dies on his own. And that was the choice they gave me the day before Mother's Day. So I waited, and I told him, you know, just let me have Mother's Day with him before I think about it, and, you know, before I make a decision. So I spent Mother's Day with him, and they let me hold him. You know, wires, vent, machine, everything. I was just excited I got to hold him. So they let me hold him, and through his diaper and clothes, you could feel his butt bone and his spine, and I could just tell how much weight he was really had lost since he had been in there. And I just decided I couldn't allow my son to starve to death. So we decided to take him off life support. So on May 13th of 2013, the day after Mother's Day, we took him off life support, and he passed away.
Obviously, it's horrible. We can't say. I don't think there's anything you could say to even comfort it. So you kind of hinted towards it. It sounds like that had a devastating effect on your relationship with your boyfriend at the time.
Yes, we ended up breaking up after that. We split up pretty much before I even left the hospital after losing Cameron. he wasn't the same in the hospital. He was actually not very nice about everything. He was stressed and worried and felt that it was his fault. I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain that part. When the crime scene investigators come to the hospital and told me that they assumed that Cameron wasn't buckled in properly, that he was actually illegally fort-facing in the state of Louisiana, and they believed that Rhett had only buckled the chest clip and not the bottom buckle. My first question was, what do you mean illegally fort-facing? I'm the one that turned him fort-facing a week before the accident because he outgrew his infant seat, and the first seat that I found in my price range was, you know, said 20 pounds. He fit the weight and height, so I put him in it, and I would always buckle him in the right way and all that. But when I went and seen Facebook videos and pictures that I had posted in the past of him in the car seat and realized, okay, well, that strap right there is twisted. That shouldn't be twisted. He really should be rear facing in this picture here, and the chest clip can be moved up a tad. And I just started seeing all the things that I did wrong that at the time I just didn't think anything of it till something like that happens and you realize it really is a really big deal. It's not something that you just overlook and just assume you're doing okay, because it's not as simple as it looks.
So what can you teach us about car seats for kids?
The main thing I learned about it is how important rear facing is. I learned about extended rear facing and how important it is to rear face to the max of your car seat, and how rear facing's 5 times safer than fort facing. I learned about the spine and neck not being mature enough for fort facing. I watched crash videos on YouTube and just did a whole lot of research myself. And then someone on social media messaged me and asked me how I felt about becoming a CPST, and my first question was, what is that? And she told me that she was a child passenger safety technician, and that she said that she could help me in any way to get certified. And also found out about aftermarket products and how unsafe those are. You think, oh, these are so cute, this will be, you know, it's monkeys, let's put it on the car seat. And you don't think about, when you get into an accident, it compresses, which causes space for that child to come out the car seat or move too much. And if it's not tested with your seat, don't use it. And I didn't know that. I mean, I had aftermarket products hanging from the thing for Cameron to play with in his infant carrier for a year. I didn't know that. I learned about heavy coats, and I used to just put them in the car and buckle them in and tighten them straps down. I'm thinking, well, they're not going anywhere. So I'm watching a crash test dummy with a heavy coat on and watching it compress and the kid just come out the car seat, and I'm just like, that did not just happen. Like, oh my gosh, that could be my child. And I just little things I had learned afterwards that, you know, you just don't know. Stuff that isn't in the manual of the car seat. Stuff that most people just overlook, or everyone does it, so it's okay, but it's really not.
The car seat's the biggest lesson, right? No matter what, if a kid's in a car seat of car seat age, they should be facing rear, is that correct?
Rear facing till the max of your car seat. Car seats have different weight limits on it, but like for instance, Maddie's car seat rear faces 240 pounds, and she will be rear facing in that car seat till she reaches the max of her car seat and cannot rear face any longer before she turns around forward facing. She might be 4 years old before that happens, but the longer they can rear face, the safer.
Do you blame yourself for this at all?
I do, to an extent. It's been 2 years. I still go through therapy, me and my child. Because I do blame myself, and I do blame him. And it's hard to forgive someone for something, you know. Like, how do you not buckle in someone all the way? Like, that's common sense. But, I mean, I am the one that decided to turn him forward facing. I should have kept him rear facing. And I just assumed because he was the right weight and height for the car seat that I had bought him, that he was okay facing forward, because according to the car seat, he could. And all the damage he had in his lower spine and his neck area, that's what they told me it was probably from the first initial hit, where the head goes down towards the knee area.
So now you're doing something terrific. You've shared your story with the world.
It's not much longer after the accident, I found out I was pregnant the whole time and didn't know it. So with a new baby on the way and a, you know, Connor that I want to make sure he's okay in the car and safe. And after all the research, it took me about 6 months to finally make a video. made a video on Cameron's story, is what I called it. And it was a video about Cameron's life from birth till death and what happened and what should have been done differently. And, you know, he might, we don't know, but he might still be here today if he would have been rear facing or strapped incorrectly. A friend I made that lives in Oregon, she's a CPST, and me and her got to talking. She made memorial decals for Cameron, and, you know, she helped me make Cameron's Facebook page. She told me that I think that we could really help other people because you've learned so much. You've taught friends and family. Why not? Let's reach out and help others more than just what you've done already. You know, like, you really want to help people. We can do it through social media and outreach, things like that. So we got together and made Cameron's Story Facebook page, and I didn't expect it to grow any further than my little town of Albany, Holden, Louisiana, and now it's got over 20,000 likes, and we get messages all day, every day about how Cameron's story has changed the way their child rides in the car, and it just brings me to tears.
Is there any one story that sticks out for you? Because I saw one that the lady said she actually got her car seat fixed, and as she was leaving, she got hit by a drunk driver. But is there any other one that really sticks out for you personally?
There was one about a lady had turned her infant rear face in. He was a little over one, but she had him forward facing. She turned him back rear facing and actually got into an accident with a logging truck. And the log went through the windshield and actually hit the back of the car seat. And if he would have been forward facing, it would have actually hit the child. And that was the first big story that I had heard from someone about, you know, how Cameron's story had impacted their lives. And that one really, really hit me. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to say. It took me a while to even write back to her because I was just crying. And I was like, seriously, this is my number. Just call me. I just want to talk to you. Like, I can't hug you, but I just want to talk to you.
Does that at all help with some of the guilt that you may have had from this? Does that help with the whole recovery process from all this? Does reaching out and talking to other stories and other moms about this, did that help you?
It does. It really does help me because that's what keeps me going. Yeah. To hear stories like that, to know that all the work I do and everything actually makes a difference, even in one person's life. That's all that matters. But just the numbers and messages, and like the numbers keep rising, the people keep calling me and contacting me and telling me their stories, and it really, that's what keeps me going, and that's what brought me to becoming a child passenger safety technician myself.
So how do you use that? Do you work somewhere specific to, or is it just somewhere you go around and show people how to put their car seats in correctly? How does it work?
I do a completely free service. It's a 3 to 4 day class that I took to get certified, and it's all about it's everything to do you could possibly think of with a car seat and children in the car of any age or any child passenger or passenger period in the vehicle. It's all about how to install the seat and where to install a seat at, how to get all the children in the car the safest way, puzzling them in is what I call it. But yeah, I don't work anywhere in particular. I work everywhere. Anywhere they need me to go, I go. They need me to come to their house, I will come to their house. And I don't install their seat for them. A CPST is to teach you how to do it yourself. So when you drive away from me, that you know how to do it next time. It's to show you this is how you put your seat in the car. And I mean, it's nice to be able to know and be able to be certified and actually get my hands on seats and teach people about them. And I mean, I learn something new every day still. And I think it's a blessing to be able to do that.
So if I'm a parent of a young kid, how do I find somebody like you, or can I just go to a dealership and they do it, or do you recommend that or not recommend that?
I wouldn't recommend it unless they have a child passenger safety technician there, but you can go to cert.safekids.org. You can go on there and go to Find a Tech and put in your state that you live in or your city, and you could find the techs local to you. And they have phone numbers and emails. You can reach them that way and set up an appointment to get your seat checked.
Do they charge money for that?
Not everyone does. It just depends. Most don't.
How would I find your YouTube page? How would I find your Facebook page?
You could just go to Facebook and type in Cameron's Story is Saving Lives. And it'll pull up Little Monkey in the Car Seat is the profile picture. And it says Cameron's Story is Saving Lives on it. Another thing we do at Cameron's Story is we do fundraisers. We sell t-shirts and window decals. And with what money we raise from that, we actually help other people. We pay for other people's certification. We sponsor them. Not everyone. We can't sponsor everyone that wants us to sponsor them, but we have a list. And one of the main things we look for is people in low-tech, no-tech areas. Some areas don't have techs for miles and miles and miles. So that's what we aim for, is to try to sponsor as many techs as we can so we have techs more spread out throughout. So that way people don't have to drive for hundreds of miles to find one. And we have sponsored many a tech that way, and they have all been wonderful, wonderful people.
So your story's touching, obviously. If people wanted to contribute somehow,
you can go to our Facebook page and look in the About section, and you'll find the YouCaring link. And you can donate through YouCaring.com, and it goes straight to our tech fund. And that's the fund we use to sponsor techs with.
So let's do something fun then. Let us win you some money for charity. This is how we're going to do it. It's just a really simple game. We have two plastic bags here, okay? This one has numbers 1 through 50, and this one has... just they either say one time or two time on them, right? So you're going to pick a number, and then I'm going to have Eden pick out of here. She's never seen any of these, and we're seeing you're going to get one time your money or two time your money. You either win as low as $50, as high as $1,000.
Awesome.
Okay, so what's your number? 1 to 50.
Let's do 10.
Okay, let's see what number 10 says.
$50.
Okay.
So let's see how many times $50. Ooh, 8.
No, is it 8? No, it's either one times or two times. Oh, it's a 1X. Okay. Well, I will personally, then we're going to double that because Eden misled you there.
All right.
And sorry. It will be $100 going to youcaring.com. Cameron's Story is Saving Lives.
Thank you so much
for taking the time with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, as much as she may feel guilty, that couldn't have been really prevented by her. She couldn't have done anything at the time.
No. Well, I mean, look at it on a bigger, higher level, Eden. We're talking about accidents that could have been avoided. Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend, as she discussed, did not strap the babies in right in the first place.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're facing forward.
Yeah.
So those two things alone, those two factors, if they had been changed, might have changed the outcome, as Holly talks about.
I know. Every time I have something bad happen to me, it always makes me feel, I tell people the best Vicodin is actually helping other people. And there's no amount of likes on a selfie or any kind of like award you can get to feel better about yourself than it is to make others, like you've helped others and knowing that you've helped others. And I think that helped her heal a lot. I think helping and hearing stories of other people that have learned from her story and used her failure to protect their children has really been a huge chunk of her healing process. And I think it's what's made her comfortable to even speak to us. You know, I think it gave her that. She was pretty composed, and this is something very difficult that happened not too long ago. I have to commend her for that, you know?
And the real question is, how do you deal with something like that after it happens? How do you move forward, and when do you move forward?
Yeah.
I know for me, I don't know that I could be as strong as Holly. It was, what'd you say, 6 months from the accident?
Eight
months. She was already helping people out and, you know.
Making this video, yeah.
And the video, if you go to YouTube, I mean, if you don't cry, you have no heart.
And just don't read the comments. That's just... Ugh. Awful. But you should never read YouTube comments as a general benchmark. But yeah, like when I, this is not, I'm not comparing my story to her story at all, but like I try to teach women about early detection for breast cancer because I have a breast cancer gene. You know, it's something. And when I wrote a post about it and I got emails about it being like, hey, I read your story and it convinced me to get tested and it turned out I was positive and you changed my outcome. you know, I guess in a sense, I'm trying to do what I can to prevent an accident or something bad from happening. But it's always good to see that from bad stuff in your life that happens, you can use that as a way to help others. And I think she's done that very well.
I mean, I think your story, the tragedies in your life, there is a parallel between what happened with Holly what's happened in your life, which is that going forward, you did learn a lesson and you're going to be able to help others. So hopefully they don't get into that situation that they can't avoid that ends up being tragic. So whether it is with their child, and hopefully parents listen to this and they go out immediately and find one of these certified people that can help them change how their child's sitting if it's not sitting correctly currently. But also, you know, on your side, early detection, right? Go to the doctor, get yourself checked.
You might feel like, diseases are not in your control, but you'd be surprised how many are in your control. And even if you think that you're genetically predisposed, as I was or am, you know, there's still ways you can do it. You just have to be proactive about it. So that's why I'm using I lost my mom and she, you know, they found out she had cancer and she didn't do, she you know, she had chemo and all that, but she didn't do a full on double mastectomy. I didn't have a diagnosis of cancer and I still got a mastectomy. And I wonder sometimes, had my mom done a mastectomy, had she had the courage to do that? I think she was honestly scared at the time because it was in the 80s. You know, I think had she done that, maybe she would have been alive. Just like maybe Cameron could have been alive when with us. Had he been buckled in properly? Had the seat been installed properly? But an important thing to know is that you can't live your life being what if, could have. You know, you learn from what you can and you just try to do your best.
I agree. And out of our tragedies, if we learn from them, they can bring success. And so we saw that with Holly. I mean, probably the worst thing that can happen to you as a parent is losing a child. I mean, can you think of much worse?
No.
And she did. And not only did she do that, but she is now teaching everybody else the lesson. And she's helping other people, saving countless lives, literally, because of the failure that her boyfriend had, essentially.
And yeah, and you know, all the more power to her. I mean, you know, there's so many ways you can go with the tragedy. You can be depressed and just mope and be sad and feel sorry about yourself, or you can do something about it. And she's really done something about it.
She's a true inspiration to people. She's a true inspiration to me.
That's good. You need some inspiration in your life.
Who doesn't?
You need to change shirts. That's what you need.
What are you trying to say?
That guy wears the same shirt every time he podcasts.
No.
This is why this is all audio. Please leave this in. Even if there's a really tough subject, it's got to be a little bit funny.
Yes.
It's the rule. You know, this is how us Jews deal, you know?
Right.
Why are all the best Jews really best Jews? Why are all Jews and minorities funny? It's because we had to deal with a lot of shit.
Tragedies and failures. If you want to contribute your story, if you want to share with us, you can email us. It's failinguppod@gmail.com.
That's fancy. We have an email, you guys. That's really fancy.
You can tell us your story. We want to share listener stories on the air. How have you failed and how have you succeeded from that failure? What success have you seen? We've all been there. All of our lives are filled with failure. So, Eden, I think it's time we embrace the failures.
We do. We're going to out them. We're going to tell people about them.
And moving forward, that is what this show is about. Outing the failures, seeing how we can overcome.